Welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of that discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Q if you want to ask a question, C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, folks, you're all very welcome to this meeting, which is the last meeting of this committee of this election term. So I've just a few opening remarks. I have an apology from Councillor Stokes for this meeting. But it's also Councillor Stokes, Councillor Malone and Councillor Curran's last meeting of the committee. They won't be seeking re-election in the upcoming council election. So all the best to Councillor Stokes, Councillor Malone and Councillor Curran. Councillor Curran has over 50 years of council term time done. So I think you well deserve to have some time off, Dermot. So all the best.
Thanks very much, Char. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Char, and I appreciate your remarks that you made. I don't like everybody reminding me of 50 years, you know, that bit. I don't know, but other than that, and the people that I work with in this committee and other committees that got there across the spectrum, I found them very helpful and work with them. So again, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Dermot. I'd also like to point out to members that this is also Kevin Scullion's last meeting in council. So, Kevin, just like to wish you all the best. It's been a pleasure working with you over this last few years and all the best for the future. I'm sure the rest of the committee members would echo that.
I'll just be brief, Chair. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you, Kevin, for the 9 years that I've known you. Every time, no matter if it was a problem, you were always there firsthand to help out. But I wish you all the best in your retirement and thank you for all the years of service that you've done to the Council and to this committee in particular. All the best.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Councillors. I came here in 1991 expecting to be here for a couple of years and then I would go off somewhere else, but the plans of mice and men go awry, and I'm still here after 30-odd years, and I have no regrets. Working for Newry Mourne as a council has given me everything I want in terms of a work and life, and I've enjoyed working with you as a committee. We've always struck lucky with we'll start off with RATS committee, then it was neighbourhood services and now sustainability environment. But we always struck lucky. The committee has always worked well together and the councillors have always been very supportive of the officers. So I wish all of you that are taking part in the elections all the best, and I hope you have success. And for those who are leaving like me, I wish them good health and good long life in terms of what they do next. So thanks again.
Thank you, Kevin. Just a couple of comments in here, Kevin. Councillor McMurray?
No, thank you. And thank you, Kevin. I think myself and the residents of Dundrummer will be forever indebted to you and the Christmas lights. And you really, worked very hard on that. And I do thank you and all the other issues that over the years between Castlewell and Task Finish groups and stuff like that. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Ruan?
Yeah, just very briefly, Chair, I'd just like to wish Kevin all the best. I've known Kevin since I came into council in 2001, and I have to say he is one of those officers that I'm extremely disappointed and sad to see to go on. A phone call, he understood what councillors' jobs are all about, and when they come to the like of himself, they were coming with issues that were raised by constituents, and I have to say from the very outset to the basically this week I've been talking to Kevin in relation to an issue, I've never found him anything else other than somebody who goes and gets the job done for us on behalf of the constituents that we serve. So wish you all the best, Kevin, and as I say, very sorry to see that you are going from the council, a bit like Liam Dinsmore before you who left this year as well. Both of you were from the same mould, so all the best, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Ruan. Councillor Taylor?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just to follow up on the comments of other councillors, I want to wish those councillors that are stepping down, obviously my very best wishes wherever their life takes them after, you know, they finish their term here in the coming weeks, and hope, you know, offer best wishes to you directly and to your families, and hope you know, you enjoy good health and a long spirit after your time on council. I would also like to say to Kevin that I am disappointed that you are going, Kevin, because I have to say, in the 12 years now that I've been in council, I've always found you to be one of the most effective officials that we have in terms of dealing with issues, explaining issues. You're always very clear on where things are, and whenever anything was raised with you, you were very attentive in terms of dealing with that issue, and you'll be, you know, I know you'll be sadly missed by every councillor that that's been here, obviously, to date, and whoever will, will be here after the 18th of May, you know, it'll be a big loss to the council, I've no doubt about that. So, again, best wishes to you, and as you approach a new chapter of your life, or whatever you may be doing, I don't know whether it's retirement or whether you have something else you wish to explore, but whatever it is, every best wish to you, and God's richest blessing to you and your family as you approach a new chapter in your life.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Enright, I'm just going to take committee members in first. I'm sure you'll understand. So, Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I'll be brief. Chair, just to concur with the remarks that have been made, I found Kevin, you know, a really good officer. An officer, since we amalgamated, an officer with that can-do sort of approach. And as other councillors saying, you know, you tried your best no matter what, Kevin, you know, no matter what sort of time we contacted you, you're always obliging and getting back. So I too wish you well, Kevin, whatever you do, I'm sure of the success if you do decide to do something else. But if not, enjoy your retirement, Kevin, get plenty of holidays, Kevin. And then same with Liam Dinsmore, I found Liam really good as well. Liam, you know, is a big loss. An officer who would try his best, not always possible to get something done, but would actually try his best. And if you wanted him to contact a constituent or someone, he would explain the situation to them and stuff. So I wish Liam well as well. And Councillor Malone as well, wish you well as well. And Councillor Corden, since I came in, I'm 21 years in council. And I never thought I would be 21 years, never mind 50 years. It's a massive contribution, Dermot, that you've made, you know, to society. God knows how many people you have helped along the way, businesses and also constituents. So it's a well-earned rest for you, Dermot. I know when I came into council at the start in 21, you were or 2001, sorry, you were a great assistance to me, because it was all new to me as well. So thank you, Dermot, and I wish you well for the future.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor McKevitt?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairperson. God, Kevin, I just can't believe you're going. The words you spoke to this committee a few minutes ago tells everybody the gentleman that you are, and you couldn't have put it any better, and that's your personality. And I always find you, when we did ring you, even if it was out of hours, you picked up your phone. And that's gone back from I first came into this council in 2005. You've been nothing but a gentleman, and if you could do the job, it was done. And if you couldn't, you let us down in your own wee way, nice and gently. And that's always appreciated. Please don't be a stranger, because you do make friends with your colleagues here, and don't be a stranger when you are away. I do expect you to be wishing me a happy birthday, as you do every year, because we share a birthday, just in case you think there's any favouritism here. I am the favourite. But no, Kevin, don't, please, you know, keep in touch with us all, and there is life outside of the council. I have no doubt that you're going to enjoy, not just with your family, but with the friends that you've made here. So don't be a stranger, and thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor McKevitt. Councillor Tinley?
Sure. I just want to concur with all the previous speakers. Actually, was a bit shocked there when Kevin says he's in the council over 30 years. He must have come in for work experience when he was in primary school, because he certainly doesn't look like a man that's anywhere near retirement age. But Kevin, personally, on Councillor Rowan nailed it. You've been nothing other than the consummate professional in any dealings I ever had with you. You always got back. You didn't always give me the news that I wanted to hear, but you always got back to me. And sometimes, on occasion, you got back to me to address an issue that I forgot that I had raised. Right? So you would have got away with them once, but you didn't. You came back and got to the bottom of it. So I want to put on thanks my personal best wishes to you, and thanks for all you've done, and good luck to my colleagues Dermot and Gavin in the time ahead. Thank you, Chair, and thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Tinley, and we'll take Councillor Enright in now.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, well, I'm not going to repeat what everybody else said, but I just want to put my own personal appreciation of Kevin on. Himself and Liam went out of their way and were exceptional and are exceptional managers, and I always appreciate the effort to bring things forward where they possibly could have been brought forward. I mean, tonight now we have the proposal on the Kellogg toilet. Once again, as you didn't have to do it before you went, you did it anyway, but always very impressed with your work ethic and responsiveness. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. I'd just like to also point out before we move on to item two, is this is also Colette McAteer's last sitting at this committee as well. She's also leaving us. So, Colette, thanks for all your work over the last few years. You've been very easy to contact and get response from straight away. So on behalf of the committee, thanks very much for all the work you've done. Okay, that's all the niceness over. We move on to item two, which is declarations of conflicts of interest. We any? No?
Chair, sorry, Councillor Taylor here. I don't know why, for some reason my chat. Sorry, David Taylor here. Item number 10, the town clocks. I serve as a member of the Select Festi St Patrick's Church, and that is one of the buildings listed on that item, so I declare an interest in respect of that. I could also concur with your comments regarding Colette as well, without obviously go through all the motions again, but you know, Colette's also been a great servant to the council and should be greatly missed by us all. So would like to concur with your comments. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Finnegan, have you a comment?
just letting you know, Chair, that I have to leave early for another meeting. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Finnegan.
Chair, can I just come in? I have to leave early, so you have to get back to work here.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Ballone.
Thank you, thanks. And thanks to everyone for all your kind comments, and it's been a great experience. And I'd just like to put on record that, you know, before I came in, I was an novice, and the hard work, dedication and commitment that each and every single one of you is engaged in, I've nothing but utmost respect for all this, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Ballone. Yeah. All the best. Okay, folks, we move on to item 3, which is the action sheet of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 22nd of February 2023. We'll just take each page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Were there any matters arising from the action sheet? No. That has been proposed by Councillor Andrews. Could I get a seconder for the action sheet, please? And seconded by Councillor Kern. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to item 4, which is the notice of motion of the MOU DFI roads and footpath maintenance during cold snaps. And Councillor Clark, this was your motion.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just I suppose the motion came about during that cold snap so we had in December, late December and January. And speaking of my own area, Newcastle Town Centre, it was a complete ice rink. Numbers of people, constituents contacting me, they couldn't get about their daily work, they couldn't get about their business, getting groceries, vital essentials. And I'm sure all the councillors right across, we noticed that in all of our town centres. The provision, the idea, the memorandum understanding was that grit would be provided once we had cold snaps, and there was agreed selection of towns and cities, or city and towns, in regards to the grit would be provided, and then the workers involved, you know, in street cleansing and also in regards to amenity horticulture would be available to spread the grit. That didn't happen. It wasn't activated. The memorandum, I understand, I went to DFI Roads a number of times and they sort of said it was the council's responsibility, and then it went back and forth. It was like a bit of a game of table tennis, and by the time we were getting sort of close, the cold snap disappeared. But it just wasn't about that. It's also in regards to even the motion is to have a discussion, you know, council to have a discussion with DFI Roads in regards to even the replenishment of bins. It wasn't adequate. The bins were lying empty from the 16th of December till January. I had reported them, the offices had reported them to be replenished. And it was areas where, you know, with, you know, steep hills going down onto main roads. I'm thinking about in regards to King Street, in particular myself, King Hill was another area where the communities were isolated, couldn't get out of their area. Carers couldn't get in to look after vulnerable members of the community. They couldn't even get vital supplies in. King Street in particular, there were two schools on that road. And more, you know, one grit bin at the top of a very, very steep hill that runs down onto the main road. You know, so you can imagine buses and that trying to get up. There was construction taking place at one of the schools. So lorries were, you know, thrown across the road. Buses were log jammed, frustrated parents, frustrated children. You know, so you can imagine the chaos that was there, and even trying to get, you know, any sort of response at that stage was basically too late. In my opinion, that road should be gridded anyway, because it's a folded Craig de Gore, vulnerable citizens as well who need ambulance services. And again, as I said, two schools also, you know, a secondary integrated school and a primary school, you know, so it's basically not acceptable. And when we contact NI Direct, we put it in, our requests, never get any answers back in regards to you know, why they're not being replenished. Was there the lack of resources? That's the type of feedback we require, you know, because it just makes a fool out of us. The people are contacting us and we're doing our best. And even if they would give the grit to ourselves, you know, if we could get trailers of grit ourselves, we could have at least made a difference. So that's basically where the motion has come out of, is sheer frustration. And I suppose while I'm on the subject of gritting, I think there needs to be a review in regards to our council car parks, because Donner Park and Downs Road in Newcastle, with heavy volumes of cars, there was no grit whatsoever. Again, it was just like an ice rink, and I don't think that's acceptable. So moving forward, I would like, you know, the council, I'm happy enough with the recommendation, and in regards to, you know, that we, the memorandum of understanding has run out, you know, so when we enter into our new agreement, there has to be an activation. When is it activated? What justifies a cold snap? Is it 2 days? Is it 3 days? Is it 4 days? Is it a week? You know, we need to get that understanding. We need to understand who activates the policy. And then we can roll it out then. And we can prepare our staff as well to enable them to know when they will become involved. So that's basically it, Chair. I'm sure other committee members faced the same difficulties as I did. Another area was outside my area, was in Sleep Crew, was Dundrum, School Hill, cars sliding down onto the main road. You know, it's just an accident waiting to happen. You know, school kids going to school, you know, and cars sliding out onto the road, you know. So I think it needs rectified, and we need to be ensure when we request replenishment of grip bins, that happens, you know. So I'll leave it there, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Clark. So you're happy with the recommendations that members note the contents of the report and agree that officers engage with DFI Roads to review the MOU?
Yes, sure. As long as we discuss about the replenishment of the grip bins as well, and getting back to councillors and stuff.
Yeah, that'll all be part of the engagement process. Councillor Clark, who's seconding your motion?
Councillor Murphy.
Thanks, Councillor Murphy. Thank you very much. Okay, so if everyone's happy enough, we'll move on to item 5, which is the review of TransLink bus shelter requests. And Gail, you taking this one?
Thank you, Chair. This report is with regards to the review of TransLink bus shelter requests. The purpose of this report is to update the committee on progress with applications for new bus shelters submitted by Council to TransLink. The Council has adopted an adopted bus shelter policy for consideration of requests for bus shelters. The policy states that prior to considering any new applications for bus shelters at TransLink bus stops, that Council will first seek the view of TransLink and whether they will meet the request. Where TransLink have not provided a response to the Council on such a request within 3 months, or if TransLink are unable to make a firm commitment, then the request will be referred to Council for further consideration. So this report provides a list of 7 applications which were submitted to TransLink, but which have not progressed to the point where bus shelters have been installed. The committee may at this stage wish to note the report with no action, or it may direct officers to abandon specific applications lodged with TransLink and consider these under the busk of the Council's bus shelter policy. Should the committee decide to do this, then this will have resource implications for the Council. Chair.
Yeah, thanks for that, Gail. Councillor McAteer has requested some speaking rights in this. He's not a committee member, so I'm going to take committee members in first, and then I'll take you in, Councillor McAteer. So the item has been proposed by Councillor Andrews, and you wish to make a comment, Councillor Andrews?
Thank you very much, Chair. In relation to the paper, I'd like to thank you for presenting this and giving us an indication where we are at the moment in relation to bus shelters. that have been requested for the locations listed. I was asked about Banana Long and particularly in my own Rowallan area of Cross Garn Trigley. And the bus shelters that are on the list, they are much needed and sought after. But I'm happy to go with the recommendations, but I feel that TransLink should be contacted again, sort of way to find out from them what is happening before we do make further progress. But I think realistically, we give TransLink another chance, and then after that, we need to sit and look down and see where we take the bus shelters forward. But I think TransLink should be consulted before we, and I do believe bus shelters will need them, but I think TransLink should be asked again before we move on. But thank you, Chair.
Okay, well, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Murphy, you're happy to second and you wish to comment?
Yeah, just like it's fairly obvious that there's a serious lack of commitment, you know, on behalf of TransLink. And it's very frustrating, and I think that should be conveyed to them that, you know, we really are on our last legs here. We'll have to go above their heads in this because, you know, I've had the experience where we had to wait 3 months plus before the council were even in a position to try and do something about the request that was put in. You know, and that's additional time where kids are left standing in the rain, you know, and it's just not acceptable. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Tinley?
Yeah, Chairperson, just speaking generally, anywhere where these bus shelters are requested, I think all efforts should be made to facilitate the request. We all are well aware of the frequency nowadays of very inclement weather, and that can be, and you could get all four seasons in the one day, and that'll come as no surprise to anybody. So anywhere with TransLink's not stepping up to the plate, but the request remains in place, I think we should be doing what needs to be done to facilitate the request. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tenley. Councillor Clark?
Chair, just to agree with the previous members' comments, TransLink do have to step up to the mark. And particularly in my area, then along the two bus shelters, and my former colleague Sean Dorn fought many years in regards to getting bus shelters provided. There are large numbers of young people who use it, and as others have said, in terrible weather, kids are going to school soaked, you know, and I don't think it's acceptable. We want to get people to use public transport. The infrastructure isn't in place, that puts people off, obviously. So I agree with the previous comments.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. I don't see any other members looking in there, so Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for me speaking on this one. I know just one of the ones that I'm particularly interested in, and I sympathise with all those who have an interest in others, is the one in Bourne. And if I remember correctly, I started a process in this request in around 2018. I know Kevin will probably be able to fill me in on that and the dates. But speaking on and on, now TransLink, just for the committee's information, TransLink have a very large project throughout the whole of the north, for over 300 proposed shelters. But this business case was supposed to be completed in 2021, was held up, and then nothing's been done, and they're supposed to be going to DFA in June 22. Again, approval hasn't been forthcoming from any of them. So even if that did happen, yet another business case would have to be required for a contract to be issued. So timescales are very, very difficult to determine at this stage, which leaves us very much hanging there, you know. And as members have said, like, there's a lot of areas where we would like to see and people expect something done on it. So, but one of their project leads brought to my attention another means whereby council can actually be facilitated. And the example he gave me was Lisburn Castlereagh, where shelters were obtained through a supplier. And then the shelters are adopted into the shelter portfolio after a number of years. And the advantage to that are that they then become part of the cycle, whether they're maintained and cleaned by TransLink and the supplier. So there's a lot of advantages in that. So I'm asking maybe the committee to consider that in order to speed this process up, maybe we could look into that and explore that further. Now, if that wasn't going to be successful, Because then I just ask Robert to explore. I know in the one for Burn is to just go ahead with it via the normal council way, you know. So, but I do think the other one is actually a very attractive one, and you know, given the fact that maintenance is then out of the hands of council, and then is transferred after a number of years, so I think that makes sense. So that's what I'm asking of the committee to have a look at that. Speak to the officers, the officers speak to people at TransLink and the people who supply it, and see where that takes us. And maybe come back in June, maybe when that information comes with a report.
Thank you. Just as you're not a committee member, Councillor McAteer, could you maybe get Councillor McKevitt to propose that and get a seconder? You're happy to propose and seconded by Councillor Andrews. So, Andrew, are you happy enough then to take that on? So we'll go through the motions here in the committee then. Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Okay. So item five there was the original review was proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Murphy, and Councillor McAteer's request was proposed by Councillor McKevitt and seconded by Councillor Andrews. So thank you very much. We move on to item six. And item six is the review of the bus shelter request being actioned by council. And Gail, this is you again.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to seek approval for the removal of two bus shelters and consider an application for a new bus shelter. Attached at Appendix 1 is a report on each of these three requests. The two requests to remove existing bus shelters relates to shelters at Slievenamon Road, Brownsford, and Ansborough Park, Ansborough. In both applications, is the officer's view that there is no longer a local need as determined by the bus shelter policy for these shelters, and as there is evidence of antisocial behaviour arising within the structures, that they should be removed. Costs for removal of the two bus shelters will be provided from the council's centralised maintenance revenue budget. Costs to remove each shelter are expected to be £750. The application for a new bus shelter is at a TransLink bus stop at Corla Drive in Whitecross. Following confirmation from TransLink that this need would not be met by them, this application was considered under the council's bus shelter policy. It was found that all policy requirements were met, and so it is recommended to approve the installation of a bus shelter in the proposed location at Corla Drive in Whitecross. It is recommended that a cantilever style shelter with no side panels is provided. Costs for the provision of a new bus shelter at Corlett Drive by Cross will be funded through the Council's Capital Programme, which currently has a budget of £27,500. Costs for this bus shelter are not expected to exceed £5,000. Committee is asked to approve the recommendations within the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Gail. Item 6 has been proposed by Councillor Finnegan. Have you a comment there, Councillor Finnegan?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, it does, on behalf of party colleague Councillor Howell. The current bus shelter is effectively in the wrong place and is in a bad state of repair. So the right course of action will be to have it removed and the ground tidied up, etc. However, the bus stop at Ansborough Park is used by many school children and local residents. So a bus shelter will be required. I would hope that council take this into consideration and a new bus shelter be placed beside the bus stop. Thank you. Happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, Chair, no, I was just, Councillor Howell's been with her colleagues, and that's grand. I was just concerned, though, I'm not sure what the protocol for this is to come before the DEA, a forum, if that makes sense. I would just be concerned that removing it just straight away like that would be a bad job, if that makes sense. But if there is plans to, as I say, I do appreciate to say it is somewhat off the road and isn't in an ideal location. I certainly concur with that, and I also concur that there has been a certain amount of antisocial behaviour. But I suppose if, as Councillor Finnegan rightly raises, how is it replaced, or how can we, if there is a need for it, Chair, that would be my just concern. Just thank you.
Gail, have you anything you want to come back on there?
In relation to the Ansborough one, Councillor McMurray, as I have said, there was a number of considerations that were taken, first of all, following the council's bus shelter policy. So the usage numbers on this one in particular were under the council's bus shelter policy states that if it's in a rural area, it needs to be 10 or more per day usage. So that was actually under that, under those figures. And also, as you have rightly said, you're correct, there has been reports of antisocial behaviour and have had complaints from residents in relation to that particular one.
Thank you, Gail. You happy enough with that, Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, sure. Yep, appreciated. Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy's in there with a P. So, Councillor Murphy, are you happy to second and you have a comment?
Yeah, well, second. No, it was just in relation to the bus shelter to be built in Whitecross. You know, that's a perfect example. You know, it's a TransLink bus stop. You know, and it's a perfect example of TransLink sharing the responsibility, you know, and passing the buck on to the council. You know, because I'm sure there's other areas that maybe TransLink don't have a bus stop, but do require a bus shelter, you know, and that's where I'd see possibly the council stepping in. But in this particular case, you know, that's maybe something that we could, again, convey back to TransLink. They should have been stepping up to the mark with regards to that. But I do welcome the fact that that's going to go ahead. It's great news for the people in Whitecross. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Howell?
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for your indulgence for letting me in. And also thanks to Councillor Finnegan for speaking. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get on to the meeting this evening, so that's why I contacted AISA. But I suppose I just want to sort of concur as well with what Councillor McMurray had said. The issue with the Ansborough one is that the bus shelter is in the wrong site. It's not being used because effectively it is 100 metres from the actual bus stop where the bus stops. So, you know, I mean, it's imperative that that is, you know, taken into consideration when a new bus shelter, the request for a new bus shelter is being considered. You know, yes, Ansborough is a village. There's a lot of school children use that bus stop, you know, stop into Castle Allen, whatever, go ahead into Newcastle to school and stuff. So I think, you know, I mean, we do have to be cognizant of that fact that, you know, whenever we're looking at that request and we're thinking, okay, you know, the current one is not used because it's literally in the wrong place. So I just want to sort of come in on the back of Councillor McMurray's points there, what he raised as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hurrell. So officials are happy to look at the positioning of that current bus stop?
Yes, we will progress that through the council's bus shelter policy.
Thank you, Gail. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, which is the 2023-24 public holiday arrangements and refuge collection calendars. And Sinead, this is you.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to seek committee approval for service provisions on public holidays applying to the 2023-24 financial year and to issue household bin collection calendars online rather than printing and posting to residents. The proposed arrangements are detailed in Appendix 1 for the public holiday arrangements. And in relation to the bin collection calendars, every year bin collection calendars are produced and posted to 73,156 households across the district to inform them of their bin collection day. The print and postage of the calendar comes at both an environmental and a financial cost, with the production of paper copies, energy and fuel to print and post to residents. The financial cost of this for last year was approximately £33,000. It is proposed to design and host the calendars online at a cost of approximately £4,800 with an associated PR campaign. I would ask members to note that residents who wish to have a paper copy can print their bin collection calendar from the council's website or request a copy to be emailed or printed and posted. So members are asked to approve the alternative refuse collection services and open arrangements for HRCs on public holidays applying to the 23-24 financial year, with appropriate notification to be issued to residents through the various established communication channels in advance of each public holiday, and the publication of individual household bin collection calendars for residents online, with a PR campaign to inform householders how to access their calendar and to raise awareness of the importance of recycling right. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Sinead. Councillor Andrews, you're happy to propose and you have a comment?
Thanks very much, Chair. Happy to propose, and I do welcome the efforts and ideas to save money, which has been outlined in the paper in regard and to save money, you know, in regards to the calendar that is produced annually. At this stage, and I'd like to raise concerns that there are many of our residents who don't go online or avail of computers, and in some cases in rural areas, particularly the internet broadband, you know, we will not let them on or are practically non-existent. And can anything be done at this stage to cater for and take on board these circumstances, and if paper calendars can be made to those who need them? Otherwise, happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. I'm happy to second that, and I think that anyone that requests a paper calendar will be able to get that posted out to them. Okay, thank you very much. We move on to item 8, which is the Circular Economy Consultation Response. Sinead, you again.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for noting. The Department for the Economy has launched a public consultation on the draft Circular Economy Strategy for Northern Ireland. This draft strategy sets out a vision to create an innovative, inclusive and competitive economy with responsible production and consumption at its core. DFI have engaged with stakeholders across government, business, academia and third sector, and they sought feedback on the Circular Economy Strategy for Northern Ireland. A response to the consultation document, subject to committee approval, was provided on behalf of Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. Members are asked to note the comments of the response provided in Appendix 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Sinead. Councillor McMurray, have you a comment?
Yeah, Chair. The Circular Economy is great book. Kit Raworth, the economist. So anything with circular economy, it gets sort of a good read up by me. I hate to be pedantic or pernickety, but I was reading through the response, and to question 12 on page 8, there was a response. Maybe I've just misread this, but this is how it goes: a promotional campaign to educate and inform consumers on how to look after and maintain their household appliances to extend the life of these products rather than repair when it fails. So I would have thought that would have been rather than replace when it fails. You know, have I misread that, or have I misunderstood that, or is that am I being overthinking something, Chair? Thank you.
No, well spotted, Councillor McMurray. I think you're right, Sinead.
Yes, and it's rather than just repair, rather than waiting for it to fail, but to maintain it in it during its lifespan. So yes, I can submit that amendment. Thank you.
Sorry, no, I knew that I could see that that's where the gist of it was going, but they're just, yeah, sorry. Thank you, Chair. Great, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Could I get a proposer and a seconder to note item 8, please? Proposed by Councillor McKevitt in chamber and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Thank you. Okay, we move on to item 9, which is the removal of bring bottle sites. And Sinead, this is you again.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for a decision, and the purpose of the report is to seek approval to remove bottle bank bring bank provision from a number of locations across the district. Members will be aware that in April 2019, the Council introduced a standard mixed dry recyclable refuse collection, which provided for the deposit of glass in blue bins and negated the need for to continue to provide bring site services. In June 2020, the Neighbourhood Services Committee approved the reduction of the 61 licensed recycling sites to 22. Members will also recall in January 2022, following legal advice, the waste collected from caravan sites is defined as commercial waste, and the Council is obliged to charge for the collection of this waste and apply the polluter pays principle. It is therefore recommended that the caravan site owners with bottle bank provision are contacted to inform them of the intended removal of the banks prior to the removal. Members should also note that the Waste Management Licence and Regulations require bring banks to be registered as exempt under paragraph 12 of the regulations, and it's not intended to continue to register the bring banks located at the caravan parks under this exemption. So members are asked to approve the removal of bottle bank, bring bank provision at caravan sites as listed in Appendix 1. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sinead. I don't see anyone coming in there. Could I get a proposer and a seconder to recommend item 9 there, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Curran. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to our in committee items. So items 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Could I get... I see that. Okay, before we go into closed session, I'll just take a question there from Councillor Tenley. Sorry, Councillor Tenley, I missed that one.
Yeah, very briefly, Chair, I would have raised it with the officers directly earlier if I haven't noticed it, but I've looked through item 12. I would like to know why it's in committee. There's no financial references made to anything.
Evan, can you answer that one?
I can't. It shouldn't be in committee, but maybe I had the wrong heading on it when it went through, but the last number, each year we have reported on that, it has been in open session. I thought maybe it had been changed by others. So that is an error, and it should not be in committee. If you prefer, we can take it out of committee.
Okay, folks, thanks for pointing that out, Councillor Tinley. We will take item 12 out of the closed session and we'll listen to it now. So item 12 is the use of herbicides across the council estate. Kevin, is that you? Sorry, it's Hayden.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is the third annual report provided to the committee regarding the council's commitment to phase out the use of herbicides containing glyphosate. The annual reduction programme proposed was a reduction of 25% in 2020, 50% in 2021, 75% in 2022, and to cease its use by 2023. These targets were set on the usage during the financial year 2018-2019. The reduction targets were met to date, adhering to 75% reduction, but this has caused significant issues with weed growth and unkept public spaces. Some additional applications were also required for new sites which came under council management. For the calendar year 2023, there is expected zero application of herbicides containing glyphosate, which officers are advising is not achievable without significant uncontrolled weed growth on council property. The report refers to several issues which prevent the achievement of this objective. Officers are seeking agreement from the council for the continued use of herbicide containing glyphosate for controlling weeds and invasive species on council property during 2023. It is proposed that during 2023, the council will set a new target of applying no more than 50% of the base year total, which amounts to approximately 249 litres of herbicides containing glyphosate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Aidan. Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, Chair. I suppose I was heartened to see the reduction that had been gone to pass so far, and that was good, and that is great, and that is important. I think, though, however, that, if my maths is right, by going back to 50% is actually a retrograde step. That's not a good step. I think this whole motion was to remove glyphosate use from council, by council. And that is something that I still personally stand by, if that makes sense. I think, in fact, it was disheartening. I read the report and the note about the taking on council our new property and new management. And again, I noticed the brown marks in my own area where new management was undertaken, and comment was passed that the disappointment from some constituents who were very pleased to see that we had taken a positive step to remove it. So, Chair, I can't really support. I certainly can't support going back to the 50%. And in fact, I would nearly go as far to make a counter proposal that we continue to aim to reduce glyphosate to 0%, and that should be what we do. And if it needs to be commented again or brought back to a new term as such to be worked on, then so be it. But certainly, I propose that we continue to reduce it to 0%. Maybe that won't be tangible this year, but certainly that should be the trajectory rather than the retrograde step. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Would you have a seconder for that proposal to keep
I don't know if I would or I wouldn't, but I'd be disappointed if someone wouldn't maybe help a brother out in the last one, you know. But anyway, thank you, Chair.
Councillor Murphy has helped you out. He's going to second your proposal. Okay. Councillor Tinley, you were happy to propose the original. Have you a comment to make?
Yes, I have, Chairperson, and I mean, like, the officers have looked at this matter over the past number of years, and there is no doubt in my mind if there was a viable alternative, it would be getting rolled out at this stage. And the practical realities of not having a viable alternative, Chairperson, means that we are able to keep the towns and villages and the footpaths and the areas that we are responsible for in an acceptable level of weed control maintenance. Because to certain times of the year, places can become like kept very, very quickly. And that's the visual impact of that is an overriding concern that the residents of the district have. Certainly that would be my experience. As opposed to, and it would be a secondary consideration for those people as to what is being put on it to kill the weeds. So, I mean, like it's, I think being able to control the weeds and keep on top of that problem, and it is a problem that comes up every year, and as soon as we start to look at or use or consider less lethal alternatives, the next thing, the tumbleweed's blowing up the street. So unless and until there's a really viable alternative, I think we have to go with what the officers are recommending on this one. So I'm happy to stick with my proposal that we accept the officer's report.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Tinley. And I would happen to concur with you that the council has tried their very best on this one, and they have followed the committee's past readings to go and try and get rid of this herbicide, but it's obviously not working, and they're going to have to look at alternatives, but there doesn't seem to be anything out there that's doing the same job as the glyphosate actually does. So Councillor Ruan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think first off, this is not an easy decision to take. It's a difficult one, and Councillor Tinley's probably summed it up, but I do think that Councillor McMurray was right in what he says, that I think as a council we need to keep sort of down the line of doing away with this here. I've been contacted in recent months from concerned constituents who just don't want to see us as a council to use the herbicides, in particularly around playing fields, around kids' parks, etc. So I think the proposal that we have in front of us, I think it allows us, I think in certain circumstances, but I think we need to be mindful of where we're putting it. I think there's also that worry that as the summer progresses, as Councillor Tinley has said, that people will then be complaining about the state of their pathways and all that there. But I can't believe in this day and age that there ain't a substitute out there. I can only imagine that there has to be something, in this day and age that it could be an alternative. And I suppose the one thing we need to keep doing is keep looking for it, because there's something has to be out there. But I think in the short term, I think we need to manage how we do it this year. But I think the new council, whoever that may be, this issue needs brought back to them in the first month or two of the new council. And we need to decide a way forward for the new term of council. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rowan. Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairperson. Can remember, I actually think that when we were debating this, when it first was mooted here, that it was the council, this committee gave the guidelines to use the alternative that we have been using where possible. And I think it actually has worked, because when it first was mooted, I didn't think that it would work, you know, partly work what you have achieved. So, I mean, we don't like taking back steps, and I take on board what Councillor McMurray is saying. But at the end of the day, I totally agree with what Councillor Tinley is saying, in that, you know, until there is an alternative, and that was the whole attitude of the committee. There was nothing else out there at the time, but where possible, if you could use something more environmentally friendly, of course, I think that's the approach that the committee should be reporting back to, and I think that the report allows that where possible. The council should be using the alternative. And I agree with Councillor Rowan, it is hard to believe in this day and age that there is nothing more, an alternative that equally gives the same effect as what, I forget the name of the stuff, like, yes. So, I mean, the report says it all, really. It was the instructions of this committee that we do it where possible, and I think that should continue until it's looked at again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKevitt. I'm just going to read out just a wee addition to the recommendations that Andrew has proposed here, just to see if we can get agreement on this. So, to note the content of the report, to agree to use to the use of herbicides containing glyphosate for controlling weeds and invasive species on council property during the calendar year 2023, with the target of applying no more than 249 litres of herbicides containing glyphosate, while still working towards 100% reduction. Would members be happy with that proposal?
Sure. Could I ask that we maybe look at adding in that we be mindful of play parks and the like of them areas, that we use the alternative there, that we don't use them close to where children play as parks and football pitches are?
Sure, we do not use the glyphosate in the children's play parks. At the moment, we are using manual eradication of weeds, scuffling and manual removal. And we use alternatives which do not contain glyphosate in children's play areas.
Chair, sorry, Chair, for interjecting. I know Councillor Clark is ahead of me. I don't mind deferring to Councillor Clark if he wants in, but I'm not content with that proposal, because that just keeps the proposal as is, and it just goes back to 50%. So I'm really sorry, but I mean, I think that just is a retrograde step, and I'm not content. That is, because that essentially is a retrograde step. That just goes back the way, and say this is more. I mean, this there is alternatives out there. You know, a cursory glance will show you that up to 80 to 100 councils across the water seem to have managed to remove glyphosate from it. There's a wider issue here as well. You know, weeds. No such thing as weeds, just plants in the wrong places. And you know what they provide to the bees and the pollinators out there. You know, we are storing ourselves up for such a problem. And again, there's many more people, much more knowledgeable than I, on the bees. But I wouldn't be content to go. I think it needs to be at least the current levels of reduction of 75% or whatever it is, looking to continue eradication to 100%. Sorry, Chair, that's where I'm at with that, Chair, sorry.
Councillor McMurray, just on this, would you mind just reading out what you're actually proposing again, just by the committee?
Yeah, sorry, I did scribble a note somewhere on it. We continue to aim to reduce glyphosate back to 100%, to 0%, to 0%. And that if this needs brought back in the new term, then so be it. But certainly I wouldn't be content, with what is on the table now. With the 200 and whatever it is, because that's just the 50% of the 2018-19 base time, from what I can tell, which then is just a retrograde step, Chair. Sorry, thank you.
Chair, just to try and clear this one up, would it be agreeable to members if the recommendation was changed to apply no more than the amount of glyphosate applied in 2022, and to continue to work towards a 0% or 100% reduction. In other words, you can see it in the report, there was about 30% used in 2022, and adhering to the 75% reduction is causing us issues, but we will continue to work towards zero. So rather than, I think it's been expressed by some members in going backwards, that we don't make it any worse than 30%, and we continue to work towards 0%.
Yeah, I think I'd be content with that, but I think there also needs to be a line added about some sort of fact finding or something like that, you know, because I think this is, you know, this can be done, and I appreciate the hard work that the officers and operatives do, and I'm sorry for being cantankerous about this. It's not really in my nature. I try not to be in my nature, but I think that would be where I'd be at with that one, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray, and they're happy to go and do some fact-finding on it as well. I've sort of lost my spot here. It was Councillor Tenley?
It's myself.
Who was it? Councillor Clark? Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's fine, and I think that's a fair compromise. I think everybody wants to reduce, you know, the herbicides that we're using. As Andy says there, in regards to pollinators and the damage that it does to pollination, you know, so but that has to be also balanced with the forest parks that we've taken over. There's huge amounts of trails in forest park, and the majority of them are strimmed, and I've been working in Castlewell and Cabroni. You know, there's a huge amount of work being carried out. There's also that balance then, you know, using strimmers and, you know, emissions from strimmers as well, you know, so it's not just as simple, you know. If you look at all the other statutory bodies, you know, many of them still continue to use this herbicide. But I think the trajectory has to be downwards. And I think what Andrew says about the 30% 2022 level, I think that's a fair position. We've made huge improvements. But I think the new council, there needs to be a workshop organized first. To listen to the differently from the operators and the people who's trying to deal with the issues that Councillor Tenley and Councillor Allen were talking about. You know, it is difficult. It's not, you know, we talk about hot foam and burning, you know, they're not proven, you know. So I think we need a workshop and, you know, best practice where the council are at the minute and the good progress has been made. And listen to, as I say, the people who's on the ground trying to keep the place tidy, you know, so it's that balance moving forward. Just a question, Chair. There seems a massive disparity between the New East section and the Downpatrick section in herbicide use. Why is that?
Chair, it's just down to geography and the amount of areas that are needed to be controlled by herbicides in comparison. So it's just a geographical issue, Chair.
Thank you, Aidan. I think everybody.
Chair, the add in that proposal that we organise a workshop for the new council.
Yeah, Councillor Clark, Andrea has taken note of that. So we'll get that arranged in the near future. I think everybody's in broad agreement now with Andrea's recommendation. Councillor Murphy, you were looking to comment, were you?
Just to say that what has been proposed now is certainly more robust, you know, so I'm happy enough to go with that. So.
Thank you very much, everyone. It's good to come to an agreement. So item 12 was proposed by Councillor McMurray, going to say, and Councillor Murphy seconded. So thank you very much. Okay, we'll now move into items 10. So item 10, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Councillor McEvitt and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Thank you. Yeah, will you let me know when the press is back?
Chair, the press have been invited, but no one has rejoined, so you can go ahead.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I'll just update the committee on what was agreed in closed session. Item 10, town clocks, proposals for consideration. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the content of the report. In relation to the proposal to refurbish Dan Wright's hall clock, a business case would be prepared for presentation to committee. The business case would consider the three options recommended by the council contractor for refurbishment of the clock and would also consider the additional building maintenance works which had been identified as requiring attention to the clock tower structure. In relation to operation of the market house clock, the following works would be undertaken: electrification of the hand rotation and installation of an electromechanical bell hammer striking against the existing bell. In relation to the maintenance of St Mary's Parish Church clock, it was recommended that it be included in the council's maintenance schedule for town clocks. It was recommended that for single repair works exceeding £500 that council approval is obtained prior to agreeing to the works. Item 11 is the business case for the demolition of Albert Basin Store and associated environmental clean. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor McEvitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report, approve the findings of the business cases presented. The business case concluded that option 3 was the preferred option. Option 3 would see the appointment of a contractor under the Council's Civil Engineering and Minor Works Framework to demolish the store and undertake an environmental clean-up plant and materials to be retained. Once environmentally cleaned, items owned by third parties would be returned to them through signed agreements and to liaise with user groups close by the store on the waterway. Item 13 was the business case for replacement vehicles 2023 to 2025. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to approve the business case's full economic appraisals at Appendix 2 for the replacement of refuse collection vehicles, Appendix 3 for the replacement of an additional mechanical sweeping vehicles, Appendix 4 for the replacement of medium-sized chassis tipping vehicles, Appendix 5 for the replacement of small and large vans with electric voltage, small and large vans. Appendix 6 for the replacement of small and large vans with diesel, small and large vans. Appendix 7 for the replacement of small vans and 4x4 vehicles. Appendix 8 for the replacement of ATV vehicles. And Appendix 9 for the replacement of ride-on mowers. Item 14 was deferred. It was the business case for replacement of skips and compactors at HRCs. Item 15 is the business case for replacement of defective wall at the Inpatrick HRC site. On the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to approve the capital budget in the sum stated in the report for the procurement of a contractor to undertake specified works to construct a retaining structure along the base of the slope between private land and council land at the Patrick Household Recycling Centre. Item 16, feasibility report, proposed public toilet in the village of Killock. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Curran, it was agreed to note the contents of this report. Item 17, the ARC Joint Committee Members' Monthly Bulletin, 23rd of February 2023. On the proposal of Councillor Bowsey, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the above bulletin. Yeah, thank you very much. We move on to item 18. Which was correspondence received, Keep Recycling Local, presentation on recycling and the circular economy. The correspondence was attached for everyone to read, so if there are no issues arising or anyone wants to comment, could I get a proposer and a seconder for item 18?
I thought it would be worthwhile to have a presentation. Because what is outlining to us here in relation to recycling? What can be made here in relation to jobs, and how it could help the economy? And what they quoted there, employment of 800 people and worth over £1 million. And I think it would be worthwhile to see how we could have a recycling situation here within our own area.
Thank you, Councillor Curran. Andrew, are you happy to look into that to sort out a presentation?
Yes, Chair. Members may feel it more appropriate to have that at a working group rather than at a full committee to save time.
Yeah, I would agree. A working group, happy enough. Okay. Yep, thank you. You're happy to propose that, Councillor Andrews? Okay. And seconded by Councillor McKevitt? Did you? No. Yes. Councillor Curran, okay. Item 19 is for noting. It's the historical action sheet. So if we have no matters arising, can I get a proposer and a seconder for item 19? Proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor Curran. Okay, folks, that concludes our committee meeting for this term. Good luck to everybody who's standing in the upcoming elections. All the best, especially Declan and Aoife. Only joking. All the best to everyone in the elections.
Sure, can I just say, you know, how far of a chair you've been, and you've been very professional and impartial, and it's been a pleasure working under you. Also, just to mention, but in relation to Colette retiring as well, she's a very professional officer as well, and I wish Colette all the best, particularly Colette has to deal with the planning committee, you know, so she earns her money in regards to that, so I wish her well. And also Colette O'Rourke as well. Is retiring as well from, I know Clare from the Old Down Council, you know, she's, both officers dedicated a lot of time and energy to making the area a better place. So I wish them all well.
I'll just be brief, Chair. I know I concur very much with what Willie has said, and I'd like to thank you personally, Chairperson. It's not too often in a council term that both Chair and Vice Chair are returned to serve and lead a committee. Just, you've been very good to work with, very kind and understanding. You deserve a medal and putting up with me, but I'd like to thank the officers and Kevin and Clayton to others for all their help and support. You know, it's great to have it's one of the best committees, if not the best committee in the council, in my opinion. And I wish everybody well in the forthcoming campaign.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody, for your kind comments. And thanks to the team of officers up here, Kevin and Gail and Andrew and Aidan and Sinead. They've been very, very helpful to me over the last year. And their predecessors were equally as helpful in my second year as councillor when I was chair of this committee as well. So all the best to Kevin and Colette, and to Dermot, all the best in the future, and to the other councillors who are not going to stand in the next election. So on that note, I'll let you all go, and all the best for the 18th of May. Okay? Thank you.
Sure.